And when I moved to LA and I came back, I told my boys, I'm not moving back to LA until like half y'all come back. Come with me. I would love to move to LA. Like, I would do it right now, but until like four or five of my guys like blow up on social media and they can come with, I'm not doing it yet. They deserve it.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. And this is the podcast where we teach you how to grow on social media by talking to people who have actually done it. People like Simba Jones, who has over 9.1 million followers on TikTok. And I cannot be more excited to have him here on the podcast today. Simba, welcome to the show.
What's going on? I appreciate you for having me, man.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I'm excited to have you here. And where I want to start, I want to get a little bit of an idea of who was Simba before TikTok. From my understanding, you played football at a high level, Kennesaw State, if I'm not mistaken. But like, tell me a little bit about who you were before all this started.
So before I started, I played football. It was D1AA at Kennesaw State. And even then, I was like helping out with like social media and stuff. Like, I was just like light-skinned kid with blonde hair, so they will always post me. And then I started something called The Plink. Like, you know, from Edna and Eddie, I had that and it went viral over like ESPN and stuff. And then after that, you know, quarantine hit. So, and that's when TikTok came out and I did like the most cringiest stuff, you know, at home, doing like the dances and everything. I even did something called like, if you don't rap, you get shot. It's so bad. Like when people follow me, I get scared when they see it. But I was working like full time. I was working three jobs and everything. And then like once quarantine started like settling and stuff where people started letting people out, I came out with the podcast and all my guys started come over and then I was like, hey, let's make some videos. And then it just blew up from there.
And so did you like, cause you did some social media stuff in school, but social media wasn't ever like your end game originally, right? Like you originally, like you were going to be, I think it was police officer for a little while, then the Air Force and then. And then social media now?
I was trained to become a police officer like literally before social media. And then I was going to go from police straight into the Air Force. And then once everything blew up, my dad's like, yeah, you ain't got to do this anymore.
But even then, going back a little further than that, you did a little bit of acting and improv growing up there, right? Like you always wanted to like, you always had like that entertainer gene in you, right?
Oh yeah. I grew up loving Will Smith. Like Will Smith was like my favorite guy in the world. And then so basically in like high school and middle school before I did football, I was big into acting. I did drama club, children's theater, and did a lot of like improv and stuff. And so that's why I grew up. But I had to stop a little bit just because of football, because you know, full scholarship and stuff, it's hard to get a scholarship for acting. So I had to like pause it there and then got into that.
So now that like things have popped off, you know, you're kind of doing the entertainer thing now, maybe in a bit of a different way than you thought originally. I'm curious what the reaction has been like from kind of the people around you. Because from my understanding, Atlanta isn't necessarily as big on social media necessarily, like content creators, let's say, as opposed to like athletes or artists, right?
Exactly. Especially Georgia, if you're not an athlete or if you're an artist, like a rapper and stuff, it's hard to get your name around. Like people don't really like look at like social media influencers as something like big here as they do like in Cali and stuff. So when I went to Cali, everybody's like, oh, big this following. While I'm here, they're like, I'm just some regular guy, especially like after football. So, I mean, it's so good and stuff. My high school friends, it's either hit or miss. Like they either like roast me for it or they like love it. It's just, I don't know. It's harder than Atlanta.
And so talk to me then about like that trip. Cause you went to LA, it was at the Hustle House, I believe you stayed in for a little while and like, so how was your experience in LA going from somewhere like Atlanta, where it's like, it's not as big a deal as somewhere where in LA, like 9 million followers in LA, it probably feels like a lot more than 9 million followers in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about what that experience was like.
So basically it was like last summer and like I got hit up and I didn't know who I was rooming with. And it was a Hustle House and I was scared. You know, me and my boys were talking and they're like, how's it feel to be the only black guy? I was like, I don't know how this is going to go, but hey. Guy got me, so I went. And, you know, in Georgia, you group with a bunch of white guys, you know, there's a chance to be like racing stuff. Now, the Hustle House was like some of like the most purest, like most fun guys I ever met. Like those guys are still like my brothers to this day. And so they showed me around, had a good time. I got to meet a bunch of like influencers that like I followed definitely like before like I blew up, and I was just starstruck or whatever. And so it was a good time there. The only thing I don't like about LA is like meeting influencers. It's like a hit or miss. It's like influencers there, they're either like really nice and genuine, or they're like, you know, super cocky and mean. There's like no in between.
See, I've heard similar things where it's like, so I'm from Canada. And so there's some YouTubers I know around here, and like some of them have been on the show, and they're talking about like they go to LA, and it's almost like people don't talk to you until they realize you have followers either. You know what I mean? Like, so they might not know like this guy that I had on my show, and but once they realize, oh, he has 3 million subscribers on YouTube. Oh, now I'll talk to you. Like, is that something you experience? Like, people wouldn't talk to you, and they hear, oh, 9 million on TikTok. Like, oh yeah, of course I'll talk to you.
That's exactly how it goes. Like, especially when I talk to people, like I don't bring up my following. I don't bring up what I do. I'm just like some regular guy, especially in Atlanta and stuff. I see an influencer just to see like how they react, like how they treat, you know, regular people. And yeah, they won't talk to you or nothing. And the funny thing about LA is like, if you see someone at one party, you're going to see them at the next and the next and next. It's like a small cul-de-sac. You're always going to see them or run into them. And so I just like to see how people react. And then if they react bad, it's like, I don't associate myself with them anymore.
So speaking of like seeing them at one party and the next, like from my understanding, like that's where you meet people. That's where networking happens in LA. It's like it all happens at a party at night. Like nothing really goes on during the day as much.
No, they party 24/7. I had to leave because I was going to be an alcoholic. I was like, yeah, I need to go home. They just party like they take Sundays and Mondays off, and then every night's a party. They even day party sometimes, or they'll make some videos, but it's still a good time. You meet some really good people doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure. And so like, how long were you in LA for?
I was in LA for about 3 months, and then I would go back there like once a month.
And so then, so with your content then, cause like a lot of your content has a lot of your boys in it, right? So like when you're gone for 3 months, did you batch record a bunch before leaving, or like, how'd you make sure your content was consistent?
I keep a bunch in the bag, like just in case if I ever travel, if I go somewhere, like I make sure I record like 20 to 30 videos. Like, we have like 1 day a week to record, and I just keep it in my phone just in case of a rainy day. But I also did some videos with the Hustle House that did well and stuff. That was pretty much how I got it, just like post old videos or post with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so with creating content with all your boys, like, cause you said once quarantine kind of stopped and people could kind of come and go, now like that's when people started coming over. And so like before, was your house like the hangout spot before? Like, is that why everyone was coming to your place?
Growing up since like elementary school, like my basement was always a hangout spot. Like my friends, we grew up here, like just hanging out, playing video games and stuff. My brother, he's big into like card games, like Monopoly and stuff. So guys will always come over and just hang out here. We're like the middle between everybody, like all my friend groups. So we just come here, chill, and hang out.
And so when you start making content, you know, like, cause you blew up a little bit during quarantine, right? Like,
yeah.
So when all your boys are coming over now, even though like social media is not as big a deal in Atlanta, like, was it a difficult sell to get them to be like, yo, come make videos with me now? Like, was that a tough sell for them?
Oh yeah, it was difficult. I had like, when it first started, when I did my cringy stuff, I only had like one of my boys to help me out do like TikTok stuff. And it was like me like doing like the baby videos and stuff like that. And then once I got like, I had like four guys from the podcast and like my brother and his friends, they're like, yeah, let's do a video real quick. And then once they blow up, you know, it's kind of hard in Atlanta. Like people, they want you to be successful, but a lot of people don't want you to be more successful than they are. So that's how you really see like who's your actual boys and who's not. And so the people who came early and helped me out when like I asked and stuff, yeah, those are my ride or dies.
So how did it start? Like, was it just one video you made with all your guys? And then once that took off, you're like, oh, I got to keep doing this. Like, is that how that happened?
Yeah, it was one video that took off. It was like me and my podcast group. And then it just took off. And I was like, yeah, let's do another video like this. Took off. And then like we did like a dark humor joke, and it went big. And then we did it again. And then I was like, let's do like dad jokes, anti-jokes, and just kept scaling. And then people just kept like, you know, showing my group like love and appreciation. And I was like, dude, I love this.
And I think that the best thing, cause like you see people pop off on TikTok all the time, but then it's like, they feel like they're almost stuck to that one type of video that popped off. You know what I mean? Versus like with you guys, it's like people are there to see you guys. You know what I mean? Not necessarily just like, they don't just want to hear anti-jokes. There's a bunch of other stuff you guys do. As long as you guys are doing it, people want to watch it. I think that's probably, correct me wrong, but like been a huge benefit to your channel or to your account.
I appreciate it. Basically like when I started, I was like, I don't want to be stuck on one thing. Like, while we're hitting like the algorithm like crazy. I was like, I want to do like a bunch of videos and stuff like that. Like, you know, MTV is like my biggest, like, you know, I like get like a bunch of concepts from them. And so I was like, let's just all throw these, let's do different videos. So like our viewers have a bunch of like things to choose from. Like maybe they like mom jokes, or maybe they like a silent basement and stuff like that.
Today, is the anti-joke still like the number one thing on the account, or have you incorporated other things that people like just as much?
Probably the number one is like either dark humor. They love trying to make my mom laugh. And then some are like drinking games that go like big viral, like come on, like a drinking game. People love that stuff too.
Yeah. So with the drinking games, like how do you, because a lot of them, it's like drinking games I've never heard of before. So like, how are you guys coming up with these games?
Dude, I like literally when we have like, we have Wednesday is the day where everybody comes to record, whether it's podcast, YouTube, TikTok, everybody comes for their TikToks. And before everybody comes, I walk around Walmart or Target in the toy section, or just scrolling through like TikTok while doing it and see like, what video can I make with like with this toy or something? Or how can I make this a drinking game and stuff like that? And so that's essentially where I get my influence from, is just walk around the toy store.
And you said like you guys were playing a lot of games and stuff before. So like, were you playing, like, were you coming up with games before TikTok, or like does TikTok kind of encouraging you to come up with more and more stuff?
So me and my brother, we're big into games. We never really created games, but we're like really huge into like car games. Like we have family game night at my house where we play like Heads Up, Monopoly, Uno, Phase 10. Like our house is always the game spot. And so when me and my brother, like, we blew up for like playing games, we were like, this is a blessing. Like, this is all we do. We love this.
And so was there a thought of like creating your own games and selling them? Like I don't know if you know who Joe Santagata was or not, but I had him on the show and he did a video. This is probably like 6-7 years ago now, but like, it was like those things you use for a dentist office to keep your mouth open.
Oh,
and like you tried to talk.
Yeah.
So he did that on his YouTube channel, and then that became a game he made with Hasbro. Is that like something you're thinking of doing, is like creating games and selling them based off what you're creating in your videos?
It's on the works, my boy. It's on the works. Trust me. It's like me, my dream. Somebody offered me to create a game with me, and then like I called my brother. I was like, yeah, I'm like, I want you to partner. It's like, this is going to be me and your project. Like we grew up doing this. I want us to like hopefully blow up off of this.
And so when you're kind of like, when the account's blowing up, like when it's going, like, cause being in Atlanta, like it's tough. There's probably not a lot of people that, you know, personally, at least, that have gone through that from Atlanta, like that have blown up on social media. It's like when you're going through it, like what are some of those early mistakes you made now looking back that you know now you wouldn't do?
I want to show my boys more love. That's why I'm mistaken. I didn't show them as much love as I should have. Like they deserve it and stuff. Bringing like random people in. There's a lot of people that my dad's a pastor. So usually when I meet some people from Atlanta, they're like, I want to blow up on TikTok. I want to do it. I'm like, hey, come over and stuff like that. Like, I want to help you. And then they like try to like take advantage of something after. So just like figuring out who to trust and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so are a lot of your friends now, like, cause with not anyone really being into social media before, like are a bunch of your friends, are they all trying to grow on social media now as well?
Oh yeah. They're all trying to grow. I have like a few friends who have grown, some giving up, some are keeping going. It's just, you know, TikTok or social media does get to your head a little bit, and it's whether you let it make you or break you.
So for those, what do you think's worked well for those people that have, for your friends that have popped off a little bit, that have grown quite a bit?
Just energy. They've done something that's genuine to them. And that's why I tell anybody on like social media, like do something that you're going to love, that you're going to like, because the worst thing to do is blow for something that you hate doing. Because then at the end of the day, you're going to stop doing it because you feel like you don't want to do it. But if you do something you actually enjoy doing, like I enjoy hanging with my friends and making videos with the guys and like rapping, freestyling, I can do that every day. And that's why I enjoy doing social media.
And so you see how like it like messes with your head a little bit. Like, is that some, have you had to come, any like mental challenges, like or imposter syndrome or something that you've had to deal with since growing?
Dude, I had like, so one thing that people got to realize, like social media is numbers. So you're either going to have like a bunch of followers one day and a bunch of views, and then one day it could just drop. But it can always like go up. It's like a roller coaster. And I remember the first time I went through it a few times, but one time it just broke me. I was still working at Dick's Sporting Goods, and I went to work at like 4 a.m. and I saw like my video didn't even get like over 100K views and stuff. And I was just like, I'm about to just give it up. You know, I was planning to go to police and Air Force anyways. I was like, I'm just going to do that and just stop social media. But I was like, I was hurt because like entertainment is something I always wanted to do when I was little. And I was like, just praying. I was like, God, like, how can I become an entertainer? What I'm doing wrong? Do I need to stop entertainment and become a police officer? Like, give me a sign. And so while I was working that day, I was just defeated and stuff. And then I hear my intercom, and then somebody tells me, like, one of my favorite, like, people I looked up to, Steve Harvey, walked in. And I was like, God, there's no way you're telling me this. And then, like, Steve Harvey came in, and he came into my section, and he was like, he needed my help, and he talked to me. I was like, yeah, that's not a sign. Like, why is Steve Harvey, one of the people I look up to from Chicago, all the way coming to Atlanta, Georgia, in one, like, the smallest malls? So after that, I was like, yeah, I'm sick of my entertainment. I got to.
I got chills, man. That's awesome. So, like, what did you talk to him about while you're there? While he was there?
I don't want to talk to him a lot because if you know Steve Harvey, he doesn't like talking to people about his life and stuff. Like, he just likes, like, you know, chilling and stuff. So he was in the golfing section, and we were just talking about golfing, just casual talking. But I just took it as a sign, like, just him being at that mall.
Yeah, that's crazy. You said it's just a small mall in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's – so, like, the biggest mall in Atlanta is, like, you got the it's called the Mall of Georgia. Then you have Lenox, and then I worked in a mall called Cumberland. So it's not like the biggest mall, but, you know, it's still in Atlanta. And for him to come there inside Dick's Sporting Goods, which is like a sports store, inside of a mall, it's just ridiculous.
That's awesome. So that's what kind of got you to, like, start going again after, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. After that, I was like, I don't let, like, the numbers, like, mess with my psyche. I don't let, like, people who, like, DM me and stuff mess with me. I'm like, I'm going to post what I like. I'm going to post what I love. If it doesn't get likes and stuff, that's fine. I'm still going to enjoy it. Like, that's the whole point of social media. Enjoy what you're doing. Love what you're doing. You know, it's best when people love you while you're love, you know, doing what you love, you know.
Have you noticed, like, with your videos that do really well, are they normally your favorite videos that you've ever made? Or is it oftentimes, like, the video you don't think that's going to do that well actually does really, really good?
It's 50-50, and it's funny. Like, sometimes, like, the video that you give no time to, like, you're just like, hey, I'm going to just throw this out there. Like, I haven't posted today. It'll blow up. But the video that you take, like, hours of editing and stuff like that, you know, changing the voicing and stuff, it will get no views. So it's like, it'll mess your head a little bit, but you just got to realize it's social media. You keep going. And you can post, like, other platforms. Like, I know I did one video on TikTok that I did a lot of editing and did bad, but I posted on YouTube Shorts and it did really well. So it's just post everywhere.
When you do post one of those videos, though, when can you tell that it's going to do really well? Like, do you look for, like, in the first hour to get a certain amount of views or a certain amount of comments or anything like that?
On TikTok, you can't tell, bro. You can't. There's so many times where I had videos, like, be stuck at 50K. And then I was like, okay, either, like, there's a lot of times where I just took it off. I'm like, it's not going to get any views. But sometimes I just kept it or forget it. And then the next day it jumps up to, like, 2 million. Like, there's literally no telling. The best thing I say is, like, for my friends, just, like, comment on all my stuff, like it, share it with your friends or share it with our friends and stuff. And hopefully we hit that algorithm, and we do the same thing for each, like, all of us inside a group message. We have, like, a little group message where they post their TikToks, and we'll comment, we'll like, we'll share just so it gets the algorithm going.
Have you noticed, like, any, like, longer than a day, like, any videos from, like, a week or 2 weeks ago that randomly start getting views?
Yeah, man. There'll be, like, videos for a month, and I'll be so confused. I'm like, why is my TikTok growing? Like, my last few videos aren't doing that well. And then I'll check back and be like, views from our videos from like a month ago or 2 months ago. Cause, you know, you never know. Somebody could just pop up on your For You page and do edit. And then sometimes when like TikTok changes the algorithm, it'll bring back really old videos that blows up while they fix it. So it's everywhere.
And like, I know like numbers are obviously a big part of social media, but you can't let them get you down. But do you ever think about like, 9.1 million people follow you. Like, do you ever think about that number? Like, that's crazy.
I do, but I don't know, man. I still don't think it's big. Like, I keep telling my guys and stuff, and they kind of let it get to their head sometimes. And there's even sometimes like I let it get to my head, but it's like, it's not where I want to be and stuff. Like, I tell my friends, I'm not going to brag about it. I'm not going to live life until like I see my face on the billboard or something, or I get like my own like gaming show or something. So that's my angle. And until there, I'm not going to brag about anything.
But is that like the long-term goal for you, Dennis, to have your own game show?
Dude, I would love to host a game show, like be like the next Nick Cannon or something. Like being like a TV show host would be like, you know, heaven to me. Like I would love to be there.
And it doesn't have to be TV. Like, what if you got to a point where you're like creating your own game show for YouTube or something? Like, where you build the show yourself and you host it? Or do you want it to be, is there something about it being on TV that makes it extra special?
That's all the above. I think old fashioned like TV is probably why I did. Like, that's why I, like, 8-year-old me wanted to be. So it was like, I want to be there just so I can brag about it. But I would love to do both. I think I'll have time for both. Like, do like a YouTube show and then also do like a TV show. Like, either way, I'm satisfied and happy. You know?
And with your content then, so when you're making content, are you making it for an audience? Are you making it for yourself? Is it a combination of the two? Like, how do you balance wanting to create something new, but also wanting to create what you know will work well?
It's a combination of both. Like, I make videos that I know I'm going to enjoy doing, that my boys are going to love doing and stuff like that, so they have a good time. But also, like, I'll see like comments and stuff. They're like, do this video. I'm like, okay. Let's just knock it out. I'll post it just to make them happy, but also I can post what I like to make myself happy. So it's just like, find the perfect combination, doing what you love and doing what they love.
And so how often are you posting? Are you posting every day right now, or what's that look like?
I'll post like once or twice a day, Monday through Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, like, my videos suck. So like, I don't even bother posting on Saturdays and Sundays. But Monday through Friday, that's when I post, and I just keep going.
Yeah, so twice a day-ish, usually, like Monday to Friday?
Yeah, twice a day at night.
At night usually is when you post?
Yeah, I'll post at like 6, and I'll post like another one like 10 or 11.
You said with those, so we'll say like 10 videos a week is what you're posting usually.
Yeah.
And you record everything on Wednesdays? That's the recording day, you said?
Everything. We do 1 week we focus on YouTube, 1 week we focus on TikTok. And then we'll just create a bunch of videos. Me and my friends will get them some videos, whatever videos they want to shoot, we'll do that. We'll take videos from our YouTube and turn it to TikToks, or we'll take videos from the podcast and turn it to TikTok. So it's just, you're getting a lot of content through that.
Mm-hmm. It's like, how many, like, so you guys are just doing a TikTok focused day. How many TikToks are you think you're getting in one night of recording?
About 20 to 30. And then we all hop on live, and it's like the only day we can do it, because a lot of my friends, they got jobs, they have kids, they have like, you know, they're stuck with their girlfriends. A lot of them are getting engaged currently. So it's just like, planning a day, we all have to figure out what day we all can, like, you know, do. And Wednesday night was that day. So.
And when did you, at what point did you leave your job? Like, when did that happen?
I left my job. I loved working, but it was my brother's birthday. It's about to be a year. It was my brother's birthday. And like, I asked if I could have off, and they're like, no. And so I went to work. And I was like, can I please leave early? And they're like, no. And then I called my brother. I was like, what's the plan? He was like, we're about to go somewhere now. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to take lunch. So I took lunch and I just never came back. I was like, I'm never coming back. Especially for my brother. I take family so serious. And they just like killed it for me. So I was like, I'm going to just stick with social media.
Fair enough. And so social media, like, were you in a good enough spot with social media where you didn't need to be working anymore?
Yeah, I was in a good spot. I was at like 4 or 5 million. And, that was still like really small to me. And, you know, I just loved working, like, doing retail and stuff. Like, it was always humbling and stuff. I never thought like social media could be like a full-time job, but especially for my family and friends, like, wanting to grow them, I was like, it's just time to call it.
So when you do leave your job and now you're full-time social media, how did you, like, I don't know if figure it out is the right word, but like, it's tough now. Like, you have the structure of a full-time job, you know, you got your reoccurring paychecks. Now you have, you make your schedule, you got to make all the money. Like, how was that process for you trying to adapt to now being a full-time social media creator?
Oh, it's hard. I mean, it's a blessing. I don't want nobody to think like I'm not blessed to do it. Like, it's a blessing. Anybody says it, you know, they're wrong. But it's hard because of how much free time you have and how much stuff can, like, you know, it's like doing like homework. That's what I think. Like, a lot of stuff is tedious. Like, editing is tedious. Like, waking up at like, you can wake up whenever you want now, but like, if you really want to get it done, you need to wake up early, but you don't have to. It's just, you know, doing what you need to, stop procrastinating. That's really the hardest part.
So what's your day-to-day look like then as a full-time social media creator?
Day-to-day, I wake up at 11 or 12, get some editing done, check my emails, email other companies, try to get sponsorships. And then after that, I go to the gym, do some type of sports. Like, I play either football or golf or basketball. And then I just start posting on TikTok. And then at the end of the night, my job is like to help my friends grow. So a lot of my friends do Twitch and stuff. So I'll go on Twitch with them and like play games and stuff and like try to help them out, because that's also my job too, is to help them boys grow too.
Mostly then, so your day's kind of just like, it's pretty flexible for the most part then. Like there's no like hard and fast commitments you have to make. And so I'm curious, like with helping your friends grow on social media, like is that an everyday thing you're doing?
Oh, it's an everyday thing. And it's like, it's a big argument and stuff with them, but I love them and they only deserve the best. And ironically, they helped me grow. So it's like, it's only best for me to help them. So I'll go on Amazon and see like, do I need more lighting to help them get better lighting? Do I need a camera? Do I need lens? Like what can I do to help their social media grow? So that's like my week to week thing. And then we get into arguments, like make sure everybody shows up on time on Wednesdays. Make sure everybody has like a video to come up with or an idea so we can do that. So it's just me being on their butts all the time.
100%. And so I was going to say with that, like you also have you made a podcast network, right? So you kind of like when you say it's your job, it's like, yeah, you care about your voice. So it's a job that way, but it's also like you own this podcast network and this network, and that's why it's actually your job, right?
Oh yeah. The podcast is actually to help my brother out and my friend DJ and F4. The podcast, my brother went to school for audio engineering, and so did my friend DJ. And just I love the podcast, but you know, I love the TikToks more, but I want my brother, he works at Sprint. I want that to be his full-time job. I want my boy DJ for that to be their full-time job. So with the podcast, I take that serious because I want them to sit at the same place I am, but for the podcast. And I have a bunch of boys who are on social media and stuff. I let it be bigger, you know, have a bunch more influencers, and that's what I would love.
And what's the scene in Atlanta like outside of you and your boys, like when it comes to influencers? Like I know, I think it's like there's a couple other, like there's a content house that got created in Atlanta. Like are you able to network with other creators in Atlanta or not as much?
Yeah. Are you talking about
Keith Dorsey, I think is the name of the guy that started.
Yeah. Keith. Yeah. I'm really close to Keith. He helps me out so much. He took care of me. We go over there sometimes to hang out. The guys over there are super humble, really nice. Oh, Clap Crip. They're really super cool. We didn't know what to expect, but they're very genuine guys. You know, some of the guys like DM me and talk. We have great conversation. It's hard to find influencers in Atlanta. And when I do, especially like ones that are not part of Clap Crip, I'd be like, hey, come over, hang out. We have one guy named Warren Abercrombie. You ever seen the videos, Got to See It Through, my boy? Or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
He came over and hanged out and stuff. And now he's like part of the crew. It's cool seeing people from Atlanta, you know, especially on the influencer side.
And I kind of want to jump back to, cause you're saying in your day, like you start, you wake up and you edit. So are you doing all your editing then? Like you don't have an editor on your team or anything like that? Like it's just you?
I do. I also have an editor, especially for YouTube. He edits a YouTube. I edit TikTok and stuff like that. He was actually, I was his youth pastor growing up. And so having him like part of the group is hilarious. When he first joined, I'm like, bro, I apologize. I switched up. But I'm like, I swear I'm over God still. And he's like, I don't care. And so he helps edit YouTube. And he's like my right-hand man. Like we go to LA and stuff together. And he's like our videographer. He's really cool. His name's David. He's the most humblest, funniest guy we could have.
That's awesome. So when you're going through, when you're recording, when you're in on a Wednesday night, you're recording, do you kind of just like turn cameras on and just record the whole time? And then you got to go through all that and find the best moments for TikTok. So like what's the process of filming to getting a video for TikTok?
Oh, we're old school. We break down by sections. We'll take the phone out. I still record off the TikTok app. I don't use like video cameras and stuff. I do what's easier and faster. It's in my drafts. And that's it. David, he records full time with his video camera just in case if he wants to make like cool little edits or cool little ads and stuff. But I just take old school. I tell him, hey, we're doing dad jokes. Get ready in 3, 2, 1. Someone grabs the camera and we do that, or we're doing rapping.
So for the most part, everything that gets recorded gets posted then. Like you're not really cutting anything. Like there's not any jokes that aren't funny or anything. Like you guys, pretty much everything that happens is getting posted.
Oh no, I got to cut some stuff. It's either like some jokes are like, hey, bro, I can't post this or we get canceled or some jokes. I'm like, hey, I love you, bro, but that wasn't funny. Like, I'm sorry. Some stuff or a lot of stuff gets like cut, but it just depends what's funny or what I think will work.
And for some of these, like these dark humor jokes and things like that, are you guys coming up with your own jokes? Are you finding, like, are you just Googling like dark humor jokes, or is it all original material?
It's mostly 70% looking up. I'm not going to lie to you. 70% we look up, but a lot of my guys, they create their own dark humor jokes. And so a lot of the dark humor jokes that they create is either like, it's either really funny, not funny, or it's like really, really bad. And I'm like, yeah, not yet. I'm going to have to wait like a month to post that.
Would you ever consider doing stand up or something, or doing like a comedy night with your boys?
Dude, I would love to. I think I'm the least funniest out of the group. We have some guys who are really good at stand up or really good at coming to comedy, but me, like, I know I'm just like, I'm an entertainer. I'm not like a comedian. But there's like sometimes I could try to make somebody laugh. I know where my place is. So like, we have other guys who know they're not funny, but they're like models. And then we have other guys who are like rappers and stuff. It's just knowing your spot. I'm just like that in between, like a little bit out of everything.
And so I'm curious, like with TikTok, like with these videos that you're filming with the dad jokes, like people always talk about how important is the hook in your video. You know, you need a really good hook. Like, how do you try and hook viewers right off the rip in one of your videos?
Oh, smack them with the ball. We have this like ball, and then like at the beginning of the video, my brother just smacks them. So like people know like there's a consequence. And so that's really what happens. Like even like storytelling, like people want to know like what's the problem, what's going to happen and stuff. So right there, it's like, you know, if it's like a bad joke, you're getting hit. And so that's really my hook.
So your hook is kind of like showing the consequence right off the bat. So that makes people want to see if anybody's going to get hit.
Yeah, see who gets hit, what happens. Yeah.
Are there any other like little things you do with your video that people may not necessarily realize you're doing it? Like little tricks or anything that you're doing that no one would realize when they're watching it?
The only really tricks I do is just like explain what's going on, like tell them what they're watching before they watch it. So they're not just going to like a TikTok oblivious like way. Like I'll just put like a caption like, this is what's happening, like we're freestyling, whatever. They're like, oh, okay. So like if people see and they like freestyling and stuff, they know to watch the whole thing versus someone watching like a little bit of the video and be like, I don't like this.
And so with kind of doing like the different kinds of videos, like the dark humor or the freestyling or whatever it might be, like, is there like a rotation you try to post them in? Like I gotta go like dad jokes on Monday, dark humor Tuesday. Like, is there anything like that, or just kind of how you feel in the moment?
Oh no, I'm spontaneous, bro. I just post it. I just shit out there, you know. I try not to post back at the back, but if one does really well, I'm like, okay, let me post another one just like that and see how it does.
And speaking of when a video does really well, do you take time to go through the analytics and study that stuff and look to see it, like retention and things like that?
Sometimes, but really I just leave it inside God's hands. Like, you know, I trust the analytics a little bit. Really what I do is read the comments and the likes and like talk to people, because, you know, growing up, I used to be that guy where like I would DM like my favorite, like, you know, celebrities and stuff and never get comments back and stuff. So I would go and comment or DM people that like say like really nice things and stuff, because that's what I would want when I was little.
That's cool that you know that's something you wanted growing up. So now you're trying to make sure you do that. Are you doing that every day? And like, how much time are you spending in your comments every day?
I'll do like in between like moments, like in between sets while working out, I'll just like go through the comments, or after I post, like see who commented first, you know, comment, like, see, or I'll be like, I'll tell my boys, hey, y'all go comment, because still like a lot of like my followers are commenting about my friends. I'm like, yeah, y'all go comment, y'all go talk to them, y'all go interact too, because at the end of the day, my TikTok is us as a group, not just me. So
do you just like with growing your friends' pages, are you just kind of helping them grow? Are you tagging them in videos? Like, what does that look like? Like, how are you trying to push them out there?
All the above. I tag them. I comment on their stuff. I share their stuff. I repost their stuff now. Basically tell them, help them post videos. They'll come up to me about like, hey, I have this video idea. If it's bad, I have to like tell them like, hey, bro, this isn't funny, or you shouldn't post this because this isn't your niche. Like, you got to like keep it going and then come up with some new stuff. So it's just going through that daily.
And are a lot of them, are they posting similar videos? Like, are they posting games and stuff? Like, you're posting your channel, are they trying to post other stuff?
Some of them are posting other stuff. Some of them, I get like little arguments and stuff because they try to post the same thing as me, or they'll take like a lot of like my ideas. I'm like, no, bro, come up with your own idea. Like, don't take from where I come from. Like, we got in a big argument with like this one kid in our group because he will literally do every video that I did. And I'm like, no, bro, you got to do your own. Like, and he was like, this is TikTok. I'm like, I understand, like, there's other TikTokers that take other people's idea, but I literally taught you how to play the game. Like, you're really at my house. I was like, nah, you can't do this anymore.
What are some of those tips you give your boys when they're looking to grow? Like, when you're teaching them to play the game, like, what are some of the biggest pieces of advice? You don't have to give away all your secrets, of course, but, like, what are some of those things you try to tell them to do?
Oh, have a lot of energy. Like, people love us because we love having a good time. We love having energy. It's like a bunch of guys just having a good time, and that's what it is. Like, sometimes they'll come in, like, you know, kind of like negative and stuff, and I'll tell them, like, if you're negative, if you're not here to have a good time, just don't come. Like, I want the people here who's like, love each other, wants to drink, wants to, like, you know, turn up. That's what I have.
Do you have to, like, it's not a character, obviously, because, like, once you're with your boys, I'm sure the energy is just great. It's natural, right? Like, I know because some people, when they turn the camera on, it's like they got to get in the character and pretend to be all upbeat and stuff. Do you have to deal with that, or is it just because it's your boys, like, you're always going to naturally have a good time?
At first, like, when we started blowing up, there was some characters. They'll come in, like, dressed up, gold chains and stuff, you know, coming in fresh and stuff for a video. I'm like, nah, we're not doing that anymore. Like, come in, chill. We're going to treat like a regular day like we usually do. You know, have a good time, vibe, but don't come in acting up. Especially like if we have like a girl come, they act up bad.
And is part of the reason that you don't want them to, like, you don't want to have characters in the videos, is that because like the more authentic you are in your video, the more people are going to connect with you guys if you're just being yourself?
Yeah, that's what people love us for. We're authentic, like, we're being ourselves. So like when people like change up and switch up to who they're not, yeah, it's not authentic at all. So I don't like that.
And it must be even harder now, like as you keep growing and growing and growing, to make sure no one switches up, right?
Oh yeah, because they'll try to switch up something, like try to be seem cooler and stuff. I'm like, nah, you can do that for your page, but for mine, just be yourself.
At what point, like, because when you're blowing up, before you quit your job, at what point do you realize like this is your social media is going to be something? You know what I mean? Like, when did you get that like special feeling about what you had going on here?
I don't think I still even had that moment. Like, I still don't feel like my social media is like where I want it to be or where it's at. Honestly, I just like want this to take me to the career path like I want to be, or, you know, especially like being in like the actual entertainment industry and like hosting a game show. So the 9 million is just like, it's just like a number to me. It's not really big. I'm not gonna let it like get to my head. It's still equivalent to like 2 million, like, or 1 million, or like 500K. I just hope it helps me to get where I want to be in the future.
And on that, like, because I was had a guy on here recently who's taught, we're talking about TikTok, and he was saying like eventually the views and the followers, like, you just kind of get used to it. So it really doesn't make a difference. Like, one extra million doesn't, like, well, it's still cool and it's a million new people, like, that's awesome. But like the feeling is different. Like, we hit a million for the first time, like, that's crazy. But like once you hit 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 million, it kind of feels the same over time, you know?
I think when we hit like 1 million, me and my friends like went nuts. Like, we were on live going crazy and stuff like that. But one thing like my pops always told me when I played football, he's just like, act like you always been there. And that's one thing he always told me. Like, when you score a touchdown, like, act like you always been there. Don't celebrate like crazy, you know, enjoy the moment, but don't go nuts. So I think that's like growing up off of that, like hitting 9 million stuff, just like act like you've been there, act like you've done it before. And hopefully like 10, 15 million, like keep it the same, you know, stay the same guy I was before TikTok.
And so how do you get then from where you are now to where you want to be? What's that path kind of look like?
Dude, I don't know, man. Hopefully it's meeting other people, you know, coming, try to get back into acting. Hopefully maybe one day hit like a TV show, or hey, hopefully one day somebody be like, hey, you want to host this and blow up off of that. And maybe that's the way to grow. Hopefully come out with some new games that's more like trendy stuff comes out. It's just keep working, keep grinding, come up with new ideas, you know, keep meeting new people, being social and stuff like that, collabing, just all that. That's how you grow your following.
Are you reaching out to people and like finding ways to make connections with people in like the entertainment industry?
Oh yeah, I'll hit up people. I have like friends or connections that will hit me up and stuff, especially like going out. I meet like a lot of people, and that's exactly how LA is. And that's what I tell my boys to do. I'm like, don't stay at home, like come out. You never know who you'll meet. So there's a lot of people that I met just by like stepping outside or like going to like a bar and stuff and meeting like other influencers.
And so is moving to LA full time part of this, part of the path, or what are you thinking?
So when I moved to LA and I came back, I told my boys, like, I'm not moving back to LA until like half y'all come with me. And so I would love to move to LA. Like, I would do it right now, but until like 4 or 5 of my guys like blow up on social media and they can come with, I'm not doing it yet. Like, that's why it's my job to grow them. So I can get what I really want, but I want, they deserve it.
But I think like the love you have for your boys and like the wanting to bring them up and bring them with you, I don't think that's common. Like, that's rare with social media. You know what I mean? Like, people get the following, they switch up a lot. Like, you've seen it in a small degree with your buddies, but like, where does that come from with you? Where does this want to bring all your friends with you? And even though you, like, you right now, you could move to LA, you could make it work, but you don't want to because you want to bring your boys. Like, where does that come from within you?
I don't know, man. I think it's probably just like sports. Like, I've always want to see like my team do great and like my friends do great and stuff like that. And so I would love for them to do great and for us to grow together, because you never know in social media. Like, one day I tell them, one that may blow up bigger than me and they'll have to carry me and stuff. And I spend a lot of money so I can help them grow and stuff. And I tell them, like, if I ever go broke, like, take care of me, because like I want to do my best to take care of y'all. I also think, like, it's like the Adam Sandler movement, you know? Like Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah.
He got all his boys and stuff like that. Like, I would love that for me. Like, just like, you know, blow up one day and bring all my boys to like a TV set or something like that.
And so what are you doing to grow your own channel right now?
Hey, post, comment, like, share, just keep talking to people. I comment on like random videos on TikTok and stuff, and I just say like the most outlandish things or like the most funniest things. And people would just like laugh or react to that. So that's really how I'm growing right now.
And do you notice like people will start following you off those comments?
Oh yeah. Cause I comment on like some like bad stuff. Like, it's just funny. Like, I'll be like a simp on like some like girls like TikTok and stuff, and I'll just comment, and like my boys would be like, why'd you post this? Like, you're posting like you don't have 9 million. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm a post like I regularly post.
And if you're commenting some like wild stuff on people's comment section, they click over onto your account, they'll see the dark humor, and it's like kind of in the same vein. Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? So it's like, it's on brand to comment.
Exactly.
Like,
and they're like, oh, this guy's like, you know, funny. I'm like, yeah, I try to be.
And what about like other social media platforms? Like, how are you growing on Instagram? How are you growing on YouTube? Like, what are you doing there?
Oh, that's another place I think I messed up. You asked that question earlier. When you post on TikTok and you start like growing and you find your niche, you need to post on everything, like Facebook, YouTube, like everything. That's why I messed up. I was strictly TikTok. And I realized if I would post it on Instagram, I would post it on YouTube while I was growing there, you blow up so much faster on all those socials. And so right now we're trying to like gallop back up from like growing on YouTube and stuff like that, because my YouTube and Instagram's nowhere where my TikTok was, because that's where I mainly focus.
I heard Facebook right now is paying creators really, really well. Like, I had a guy on here last week, and he was telling me that, so he's got 1.3 million on TikTok and he's got 30,000 followers on Facebook, and he makes more in a month on Facebook than he does his entire last year and a half on TikTok through like creator monetization, like the Facebook's creator program or whatever. Like, he said, it pays a lot better.
I'm messing up. I'm probably going to hop on there. Shoot.
I didn't know that. That's just what he was telling me the other day, that he's making a lot more on Facebook.
I know Snapchat was doing great. They were paying well, especially if you had a video that blown up. YouTube is probably, you know, everybody says that YouTube is probably the most consistent, like YouTube's never going to die. So that's why everybody loves YouTube, because people are afraid with TikTok, will it be like Vine, which I don't think it will, but you never know. Like, one day it could just drop, and what are we going to do? You need to have like a YouTube, TikTok, or Instagram. You need to have like some like backup plan just in case.
And for your YouTube, obviously, like, you're posting your TikToks as YouTube Shorts, right?
Yeah.
Are you doing any long form content as well?
Yeah, we do long form. We basically do the same videos but longer and like more explicit, because on YouTube you can do a lot more than TikTok versus like, you know, getting your stuff like cut, shut down, your profile banned. So we just do longer form, more explicit stuff.
And then you said like when you go to LA, like, are you vlogging too?
No, I never been a vlogger. Like, the one thing about me is like I've never been like a really like, even though I love like the video camera, I hate cameras. I hate like talking. Like, I don't know. I don't like, I do love the center attention, but I also don't at the same time. Like, I love spreading the center attention with other people versus just being strictly. That makes sense. I know it's hard, but.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. And sometimes it's tough to vlog in public too, you know? Like, it's easier to probably make videos in the basement than out in public, holding the camera up and like all the things.
I couldn't do it. Like, public videos is hard for me. A lot of my friends, they want to get into the, you know, trolling people. I'm like, I'm too nice to that. I can't troll people. I feel bad after.
And how do you find ways to do brand deals with your account? Because I'm assuming brands don't want to be right next to a dark humor joke right there or anything like that. So how do you find ways to tie a brand into what you're doing?
It's 50-50. Some brands, like, they love it. They're like, I love how spontaneous. I love how you're out there. Like, there's a lot of people doing it. And some brands are just like, I don't know if I can do it. Like, I understand. But there's like millions of brands. So you're going to find one.
Okay. And you said you're doing a lot of outreach to brands yourself. Like, you're emailing brands, asking if they want to sponsor you?
Email and text will be like, hey, we got this, you got my podcast, you got my Instagram, we got TikTok, my boys have this, Would you like to sponsor and stuff like that? You know, just it never hurts to like reach out and stuff. And sometimes they reached right back out like a few months later and stuff. So it helps out.
And how are you finding the contact info for these brands?
Oh, I just go on like Instagram and email them, or I DM them on Instagram and be like, hey, how are you? Stuff like that. And they'll message back and be like, DM this person. So just reaching out. Some type of reach out is better than no. It's like talking to a girl. If you don't try to shoot your shot, you'll never talk to her. But if you do, there's a chance.
100%. So what's like, how often do you think, like, are you reaching out to brands every day?
Not every day, like a few times a day is stuff. It's hard finding like new brands. I'll scroll through TikTok and I'll see like my friends talk to this brand. I'd be like, why wouldn't they sponsor me? So I'll DM them.
That's smart. Seeing who's already paying creators and like using that as.
Exactly.
Got you. And do you do like long-term deals with brands at all to try and like max, like get more money? You know what I mean? Like instead of like however much you charge for one video, charging a little like more for like 10 videos or something like that.
Yeah, I'll do like a little bit, 50-50. My management's way better than I am. I'm really nice when it comes to like brand deals and stuff, especially like with people like who are starting their own gaming company and stuff. Like, shoot, I want to start one. And how would I feel like if I asked an influencer to do it? Like, I don't want them charged like a ton. So I just hope like good karma in the future and stuff.
And so for good karma, but like I've also heard that like black influencers get paid less than white influencers. Is that something you've had to deal with?
It's so bad. Hustle House taught me, basically they're asking me like how much I got paid for this video. And I told them, they're like, well, I got paid for this one and I only have like 750,000. And I was like, that makes no sense. It'll be like the same sponsor, the same person. And like, we have the same conversation and stuff, but they're just getting paid way more. And it's bad, but it is what it is. I can't complain too much as long as I'm getting like some type of money.
Of course, but you also need to be paid what you deserve, right? It's like, how do we combat this? How do we make sure like you're getting paid what you're worth?
I don't know. The only way I can say is maybe like adding them or just like having a conversation or something like that. You can't really out them either because a lot of them make you sign like contracts and stuff. So you can't talk about it. Like you can't legally talk to another creator how much are they getting paid too. So it's really harder to do it. But I say it's just either know your worth or you just have to. It depends like how much money you need. Is it know your worth and be like, hey, I'll find someone who's going to pay me more. Or if you really need the money, be like, okay, I understand. Just got to do it.
You know? Have you ever walked away from a brand deal because they weren't going to pay you enough?
Oh, yeah. I walked away from a bunch. There's a lot of brand deals. Be like, I work with this celebrity. Do you want to do this video for free? I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm sorry. I respect it. Like, we can come up with something. Like, I'm really lenient, but they're like, no. Or they'll like really lowball me. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can't take that because it comes to a point where it's kind of like disrespectful versus, you know.
Do you still get brands hitting you up today asking you to do stuff for free?
Oh, yeah.
That's so crazy.
They'll say like, it'll blow up. Like, they're like, you'll go viral if you post this video. I'm like, I have my own videos. Like, I'm okay.
Yeah, like I'm already going viral.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so they'll just try to like, I have a friend who literally has that job to like get influencers to post for free and stuff like that. And he was like, he'll straight up tell me, it's like, don't do it. Don't let him do it.
No, definitely not. Always get paid. Always get paid.
I tell my boys too that like some, like a lot of people like hit up my boys and be like, will you do a video of this for free? I'm like, no, I don't do it, bro. Just know your worth. Like at least get paid a little bit, you know, something.
Yeah. Just a little bit, right? Just that you're, you know, 100%. And when you do reach out to brands, like when you're sending them a DM, like do you have like a templated formula you use? Do you try to keep it casual? Like I feel like for a lot of people that they always expect brands to come to them. But I think it's really cool that you're going to brands. Like what's that outreach look like?
Oh, it's a template. I have a bunch of like business guys or who work in like that form of like job where they receive the emails. I'm like, hey, what's the best template to have? Like what's the best thing to send? And they'll send it to me. I'll adjust it and use my name and stuff like that. And so, or sometimes like if they respond, like DM me back casually, then I'll come back casually, like show my personality and stuff. Cause usually companies love that when you talk to them like regular people.
And so on top of brand deals, is there any other ways you're making money right now?
Right now it's mostly brand deals, monetization. I'm about to start working another job soon too, just so I can have like multiple incomes so I can like invest and like, hopefully like get my own crib and stuff.
Like what are you allowed to say what kind of job?
It's working for a car company. So it's like a car company. I'm going to help them create content for them. And so I'm going to save up. So yeah, hopefully I can move out my family's basement.
So you'd be like their social media manager, essentially?
Yeah, pretty much. Or not their manager. I'll probably be working for like their under their manager and stuff like that. It's just got to have multiple jobs, you know?
The big picture is to ultimately be an entertainer, right? And so will this new job kind of help you get there? Will the new job basically help you kind of reinvest into the content? Like, how does that help you with the bigger picture?
I think this doesn't help me with my bigger picture. I love the job because it'll help my friends grow. It's basically working for a company and they're not only me giving my insights on content creation, but also hearing from other content creators how to grow a platform. And so essentially it's me taking what I learned from this job and spreading on to my guys and be like, hey, this is how they're growing. You guys can do the same thing. And so they'll grow. And hopefully when they hit like a million or like 500K or stuff like that, I can like leave and be like, okay, let's all go to LA. So, you know, I can actually pursue entertainment and stuff. And so the goal is like, hopefully like leave over there when I'm like 26 or something.
I just got to commend you again for just doing all these things for your boys. I just think that's just so admirable and very rare. And I think that's awesome.
I appreciate it. It's just like my family always taught me, just like know where you come from. So like taking care of like my friends that helped me grow and taking care of my parents, like I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't because of them. Like, yeah, I come with ideas, but they're really the talent. Like they're the actors. They're bringing the energy and stuff. So if I don't take care of them, I wouldn't have anything. So that's literally my job too.
And how often do you look back on everything? You know, like even back to that time when before social media, when you're like in school playing football, or even that guy that was like going to school, going to become a police officer and then go to the Air Force. Like, how often do you look back on the whole journey to where you are now?
I don't know. It's hard to look back, man. It's good. And like, it's humbling and realizing like I went back to my old job that I quit last week and like my managers are still there and they like, look, they were mad at me. I was like, I 100% understand why you're mad at me. Like, I quit in the middle of the day. But it's just amazing. Like, I still think like I'll see like a pair of shoes I have on or like some of these shoes. And I'm like, I would never be able to afford that last year. And I'm like, look where I'm at now. And I just like, you know, sit down and thank God for where I am.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's awesome, man. And I want to be respectful of your time. So I'm going to jump to the last question that I ask everybody at the end of every interview. So for the last question, I like to flip the script a little bit. So instead of me asking the question, it's you asking the question, but it's not to me. Pretend you have a crystal ball. You can ask this crystal ball any question. You'll get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
What's next? Like, I want to know where I would be in the future and stuff. I don't even know if I would know how to get there. I just want to know like what do I do next? Like, will I blow up? Will I be the same? The one thing I'm scared of is being like in the same spot for a long term. Like, I always want to grow somewhere, some way. So just knowing where I'll be in the future is just, that's what I would love.
I feel that. And I know I don't know the answer to this, but I will say coming in the future for you, good things. I know it's good things. Brother.
That means a lot, man. Thank you.
Of course, man. But I want to thank you, man, for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to give you the floor. Where can the people find you? Where can they find your boys, the podcast? Plug anything and everything you got right now.
I appreciate it. If you guys don't know me, my name's Baby_Simba47. We have a podcast called The Bro Code Network. You can follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. You know, I wish you were great as a podcaster as you, man. You killed it. I
appreciate that. Thank you.
You did amazing. I got to learn a lot from you, man. Definitely.
I appreciate that. Well, make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so people can find it, all your socials, the YouTube, everything will be linked down there. But I want to thank you once again, man, for taking time to come on the podcast. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Whether you're listening the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces, I really appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Simba. Go and subscribe to the Bro Code Network. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.